KSYM, San Antonio College Radio. You're tuned in to Speaking of SAC, where we talk about San Antonio College news and just what's going on campus. The college experience. Joined here this morning with San Antonio College President, Dr. Francisco Solis. Good morning.
Good morning, Hot Mustard. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. It's Tuesday. I'm not sure what week it is as far as the semester goes. I want to say three or four. It's just going by so fast, but in a good way.
In a great way.
We are having fun. And we did hear that spot right there from the Movimiento San Antonio Oral History Project. And if you go to KSYM.org, there is a link, and you can do deeper dives onto the people we're featuring this month on KSYM for National Hispanic Heritage Month.
That project is so important to our history, our traditions, and being able to tell our stories. I think that's what this month is about with Mi Gente. I think it's so important to capture those moments. I think about all the stories my own parents have told me. And now that they're both gone, how important those stories are to who I am today and who my son will be.
Very nice. So this month, we had a kickoff yesterday, as a matter of fact, in the Fiesta Room of the Lofton Student Center. Students
right.
Gathered.
From mid-September to mid-October, the country observes National Hispanic Heritage Month, and the SAC community celebrates this event with a different name, Mi Gente Heritage Month.
And that is My People. I love that.
Yeah, the committee chose the name really to self-identify, right? To make it our own. I think that's such an important part of what we have done.
And this the theme for this year's Our Stories, from grassroots communities to college campuses and beyond. And the role of college campuses, I think, it's to open your mind to different experiences, different cultures, different ways of thinking, different ideas.
Yeah, you know, and SAC, so for much of San Antonio's history, SAC has played that role, right? Allowed students to tell their own story through the many years, the 100 years that we've been around. And it's been an important part. If you look back at all the history, and all of the different episodes and chapters of San Antonio history, the role that San Antonio College, and more importantly, the students at SAC played in those different chapters, right? It's just amazing.
And you hear from people all the time, oh, yeah, SAC, San Antonio College, I went there.
I went there.
And it's a wonderful feeling, wonderful, wonderful feeling. There's many events going on. Many, many events, but the question is, who is in charge of telling our stories? And so for a long time, the Latino community had few opportunities to say who they were, so instead they were defined by people on the outside. And we're taking it back, I would say.
Yeah, this year we're recognizing the right and responsibility to self-identify. Latinos can explain who they are themselves and embrace the complexity and heritage, right?
Yes. And so I'm a communications major. And seeing people of color in media, I think times are changing. We're seeing people of color in a different light as far as shows and news. So it's very important.
Have you done your ancestry?
I have not.
You know, probably now, if I don't know my membership, but every once in a while it shows how long you've been a member. I think I joined in 2014. One night I just got on, put some names in that I knew my grandmother had given me. And now I think I have 3,500 individuals identified in my family tree.
Wow.
But, you know, it's so important. The stories that my grandmother and grandfather had told me, you know, you remember them through the years, little parts of them. But being able really to identify those with individuals, for example, you know, the furthest back that I can trace is a great-great-grandfather and in 1814, who is living in some land now known as Fentress, right outside of Lockhart, through a land grant he received through Coahuila, Texas. And so my grandmother, you know, always used to get that question, where are you from? And she would tell people, I'm from here. And I think because she was Latina and spoke Spanish and English, my grandmother spoke both languages, that people just, and they would tell her, no, I mean, where did you come from? And she says, she would say, no, I'm from here. And people would say, no, but where did you come from? You know, and she would tell them, no, she was born in Fentress in Lockhart, you know, in Lockhart. And once I started going through that, sure enough, my grandmother was born in Lockhart. Her father was born in Fentress in Lockhart as well. And, you know, all the way back to 1814, we can identify that they've been on the land only because they've been paying taxes. So they're on the tax rolls on this property. We still own that little piece of property. But the stories and the connections, right? I really enjoy ancestry. It unlocks so many unknowns and makes them known to you, right?
And it's cool that you're able to do that. That's fantastic. I've been putting mine off for too long. Probably call my dad after the show. So with the kickoff, there are more upcoming events. We have the Antojitos Festival. That's going to be going on next Wednesday. And a look on how the West Side became the West Side.
Right. That's a presentation by a Washington Post reporter who recently won a Pulitzer Prize.
I'm very interested to see that one. I currently live on the West Side. Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm not going to tell you what side of the West Side, but inner West Side. Mm-hmm. But it's a unique place in San Antonio. I think you go to any part of San Antonio, there's interesting history there. But even when you get to downtown and Laredito, and that's where Casa Navarro is, and how that was the inner West Side, and it was not in the best shape. Mm-hmm. But things have progressed. And now they're thinking of putting a ballpark downtown.
Which has all sides of controversy.
Yes. I'll be biting my tongue for a couple weeks on the ballpark downtown. All right. But I will say, though, on that, if there was a ballpark downtown, right there where they're planning to put it in the northeast section of downtown, how would that look for San Antonio College? Would there be benefits? Would there, like, I'm thinking mainly traffic would be bad, but I think would it be interesting for the college? I think
it would be. I mean, it would definitely be close to us, but we can't forget that those apartment complexes now offer, you know, an opportunity for our students to live close to campus. And so there are mixed feelings, like all sides of every issue. I'm reading the paper constantly, to inform myself of what's happening there, and more importantly, what will happen to those residents. You know, there was a vote last week, and the vote was to move forward. It's been heavily reported in the papers, but I think the next question is, that apartment complex is filled with individuals, some of whom are our students, because it's very close to our campus. And so what will happen? What will happen to these students, and where will they be placed?
And I mean, the soap factory apartments that we're talking about, that is reasonable pricing for housing. Phenomenal pricing for downtown. We're talking less than around $600-$700 in some instances. Mm-hmm. But it's a difficult situation, definitely. All right, alamo.edu/sec. If you go to the events page, or if you go to Alamo Experience, you can get a full list of all the events that are going to be going on.
Yeah, I don't want to forget to mention a performance of an original play by English instructor, our own Mariano Aguilar. And also there'll be a celebration of Santita, the Chihuahua's sweet 16th birthday, which always helps to raise dog food for our pets. You know, the homeless are in great need of pet food. It's part of what we do to help our neighbors, and it's a great cause.
Definitely. Recently, San Antonio College held a reception for students who received funding from the Military City USA grant. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, I was privileged to be able to participate in this ceremony. We identified 30 students and also highlighted some work, some exceptional work that our own employees are doing to aid the grant. The grant was a total of $11 million and is shared throughout the Alamo colleges. The work we did here last year through Dr. Griffith and his program awarded over $100,000 in scholarships to, again, 30 students who were recognized at the ceremony.
Man, is 30 students.
30 students. It's amazing the work they're doing and the research that these students are participating in across not only Alamo colleges, but with UTSA as well is phenomenal. I hope that we'll have another opportunity to see the research the students have presented at SAC. And so I look forward to the next group and their work and viewing their presentation.
And I would assume this also will help with AI and data mining, two fields that are growing by leaps and bounds.
Absolutely. The work that Dr. Griffith is doing and I think the work, too, that you'll see soon in the Alamo colleges, Dr. Garcia at North East Lakeview is establishing a degree, a baccalaureate degree. I think soon you'll see all of the five Alamo colleges bring AI programs online in the associate's level that will allow our students to directly feed into the baccalaureate level degree out at Northeast Lakeview.
Are we seeing anything as far as students using AI across campus?
Sure. You know, last semester I went to a convening that the Alamo colleges held at Northeast Lakeview, and as a result, I brought that same panel discussion to our convocation opening. You know, AI is such an important role. One of the recommendations, though, by one of the panelists was that you should work with AI for at least 15 hours before you determine the value of it, right? Work with it yourself. And he compared it to kind of like when you get a new toy that you go through three different stages. And eventually the toy sits in the corner when you've learned, you know, when you're finished with the
toy. When you're done with, yeah.
Right. And so that's what he's suggesting that we do with AI is really to clock in 15 hours. And so one of the things we'll be doing is we're putting together 15 hours on campus that our faculty and staff will be able to go through kind of in different workshops. We'll have a series of five workshops for 3 hours each workshop. It'll be led by an AI expert who will really direct the workshop and direct experiences so that by the end of the series, right, you can make a determination about the role AI will play both in the classroom and in your everyday life.
Because I think, you know, looking across all of the disciplines we teach here, I think everyone could use it here and there. But I know for radio, they're saying, well, use it for the boring stuff to run the schedule and whatnot and choose which songs. But I'm seeing fascinating things as far as it can create scripts like that. And they're really good scripts. And students are seeing that. But I'm telling the students, you know, use it like a calculator in math.
Absolutely. That's a great analogy.
Here at SAC, I've never encountered a professor. I've taken three math courses. I've never encountered a professor saying, we're going to use calculators. But that doesn't mean I can't. I use it to reverse engineer my work, check my work, figure out how I got to where I need to be. And I think AI in that retrospect could be helpful, maybe for writing a paper or designing a building for the architecture program, something like that.
Now, you know, there's also already out a national study which showing that, you know, how student discipline is on the rise because of AI. And so what we have to do better is show our students how to use it. We want to be careful that students don't lose their own voice in assignments.
Yes.
Your voice is important, and it's important to be heard through your work. That can't happen if you're totally relying on AI. So where is the line, if you want, not to cross? But I think that that really needs to be led, right, by instructors. Another suggestion from the panel was that students do an assignment without the use of AI, then one blended AI and the student, and then a complete AI assignment. And so that you can really see the difference in the student's voice, and that it clearly shows that a faculty member can recognize work that is not your own.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's assignments like that that I think will help our students and our faculty learn as we move forward with AI in the classroom.
Do faculty have access to programs that could possibly recognize AI submitted work?
Oh, absolutely.
Terrifying. Students have been warned. Now they know.
Oh, no. And I think that every faculty member identifies the particular tool that they use on their syllabus, you know, so that the student is knows, right, that these assignments are submitted to an outside source to verify that it's the student's work. But I think that that's where the work begins, is demonstrating for students how you can use AI, mm-hmm. where it is helpful, right? Imagine, and this is probably going to come across, but imagine when Wikipedia was not a source.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
Right? And now the difference, right, and how we rely on Wikipedia, it shouldn't be your ultimate source. There should be lots of other work that supports, right, your writing.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't overlook the obvious anymore that's there. The same, I think, will be true about AI. The thing that we do know is that it is moving so fast, it's not going to go away.
Yeah.
And so, like the calculators.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're not going to go away. You know, I think about my son when he was in math and had a very specialized calculator that was issued to him that he worked with through his classes. And I thought, wow, we've come a long way, because I remember when I first got a Texas Instrument calculator.
Oh. Yes.
Remember those? And I had math teachers who said, you know, we don't use calculators in class. I hope that nobody is relying on a CPA today to do their taxes who's not using a calculator.
Yes.
So we found that calculators are important to work. We've also found, you know, that calculators do amazing work. And so, you know, where will we end on this middle ground, if you want? Again, I think the important thing is when students see their loss of voice in a paper,
mm-hmm.
I think they'll recognize what we're all talking about here.
I was helping a student, and they were doing their resume.
Mm-hmm.
And they had started out with AI, and it wrote a resume for them, and they tweaked it a bit. And I was looking at it, I was like, well, wait a minute. It says, proficient in MS Office, Microsoft Office. I go, do you know Microsoft Excel? They're like, no. I go, okay, well, don't put that. Like, because if you don't know the program, you don't know the program.
Mm-hmm.
And what worries me is if students go out and they try to get these jobs and then they don't know what is on the resume. And then you're in big trouble there, because then the employer has to make decisions and based upon that. So don't cheat yourself. I would say I tell students all the time, I go, you know, it's fun to use these things and these tools, but at the end of the day, if you don't know it, don't claim it. Don't rob yourself.
The other day I participated in a strategic planning event, and it was a series of events in one day. We used a tool, an AI tool, where everybody was able to put in their responses, which I think was helpful because, you know, at these sessions, usually you have to kind of debate with other members at the team whose responses get in. But because of the way that we were using computers, everybody's response went in. At the end of the session, then, an AI tool was used where all of the responses went through this tool. And so almost in a flash, immediately, they could designate the top 10 responses and provide a summary. Having done that work here at the college, that work takes months, right? You have to get everybody's responses, and then you have to code the responses and then categorize the responses. And it can sometimes take weeks before those summaries are generated. And then you have to draw the audience back to then look at the summaries. So all this work took place in less than an hour because they were using AI tools. So again, there's places for it. We just have to identify where those are.
Yes, definitely. Also, September is National Preparedness Month. I need to check my pantry. See if my food is still good.
Yeah, it's important that we're all prepared for whatever disaster might happen. You know, especially where there are 10,000, 11,000 students on a campus. Think about grade school. I don't know if you remember back in grade school when we used to get under the desk, right, to prepare for an emergency. The city alarms would go off all on the same day. Do you remember those? The alarms were at the fire stations and would start to sound, and we would all move to be under our desks to prepare for a disaster during the Cold War.
Oh, wow.
And I think we owe a duty, a sense of duty to our students to be prepared on campus.
And part of that is being signed up for the Alamo Alerts. If you're a student, you need to go into your ACES account, make sure the right phone number is on there in case anything happens and we're on campus. If we need to go into lockdown or evacuation mode, anything like that, you'll be notified.
Right. The month is dedicated to taking steps to keep you and your loved ones safe and secure during accidents or other unforeseen events. SAC is dedicated to making this campus safe for students and employees. And as you mentioned, of course, for more information, visit alamo.edu/SAC/preparedness. The webpage includes important emergency numbers to contacting the college.
Yes, and shout out
also,
to...
Also, please provide those numbers to your loved ones, right? If something happens, your loved ones will want to know where to call. Pass that number along to them.
Definitely, definitely. And Dominique Fonseca, she's doing a great job here on campus.
Absolutely.
And she's keeping us safe. I feel safe. I feel good. And that's what it's all about. And now today, Tuesday, September 17th, Constitution Day. This commemorates the signing of the U.S. Constitution on this day in 1787.
To recognize the day, political science program will sponsor a reading of the Constitution starting at 11 a.m. in the SAC Mall. I'll be there to launch the event by reading the preamble, and I'm excited to do that.
So come on out to the mall area, and I think we're going to send some students out there to get some audio from other students asking about fun political topics.
Yeah, and we'll have students, faculty, and staff also reading the Constitution throughout the day. So it'd be great.
Student Accessibility Services Office will hold an open house on Thursday.
Right, these services were formerly known as the Disability Support Services, and Student Accessibility Service will hold an open house in their new space, which is located in the Victory Center in room 122. The office invites the SAC community to stop by between 10:30 and noon and get acquainted with the new space that helps many of our students.
So what kind of services do they offer at the Student Accessibility Services?
There's a number of services, right?
I know test taking, sometimes students will be allowed more time to take tests.
Now, the test taking isn't in the center, right? It's test taking now is in our testing center, but you go, to the office, right? Because remember, you have to set this up through your faculty member and through the office to support the students. And maybe you need a piece of equipment, right? A large screen to be able to view, or just any number of sources. You need a quiet space to be able to take the exam. All of this is provided through the testing center. There's a number of other, though, services. Interpreting services might be arranged, are arranged through the service for you as well. Mostly it's the dialogue that, look at it this way, right? It's the advocate, it's our student's advocate for whatever service they might need. And so this is the first stop, if you want. These individuals will work with our students, our faculty, and our staff to make sure that any service that you might need to complete your course or your assignments are provided to you through the SAC community.
All in the name of student success. And they help between 450 to 500 students each semester. So if you're a student and you might need a little bit of help, yeah, definitely stop on by.
I just want to remind everybody, too, that tonight from 6 to 7, we'll be providing, updating the Alamo College's Board of Trustees on our SAC performance tonight. We'll also have a special presentation for the Alamo Promise Student of the Month, which is a SAC student. And we'll have a program highlight from court reporting in Dr. Lita's department. They've made some great changes to the program. It's a high wage, high demand job. And our students through this program enter careers right away. The starting salary is somewhere between $60,000 and $70,000.
And it is it's amazing watching the court reporters. And I don't think they do the tape. Do they do the tape anymore? Or I think it's all digital now.
It's digital. Some use a tape to aid, but you can't, as I understand, read back directly from a tape.
Ah, okay. Okay. SAC Resource Fair, that's going to be going on tomorrow, Wednesday, September 18th, 9 a.m. That's going to be the Candler Physical Education Center. So if you're a first-time in college student, definitely head on over there. Find out what resources are available to you. There are so many on campus. And if you head on over, alamo.edu/SAC/student life, you can get a link to Alamo Experience. And Alamo Experience is basically the portal for student life, the Office of Student Life. If you've walked by the Lofton Student Center, you've seen all the fun things going on, and you may feel left out and you didn't know, well, you got to go to Alamo Experience.
We're also trying to coordinate that as the spot, the one stop, if you want, for students for any resources, right, that might be happening.
Oh, cool.
And so, students are saying, I'd like to know more about that, or when is that event? And so if we had one place rather than just student life here at this space, and so we're trying to get really everybody to use it.
Definitely. All right. Well, I think we're going to be back next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. There we go. I was worried it wasn't going to fire off. All right. Listen to past episodes. Go to ksym.org, available on Apple Podcasts, as well as Spotify and Amazon Podcasts. Dr. Solis, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you again for this opportunity, Hot Mustard. I appreciate it.